It's nice to have our brother Tom Kineth with us. I don't know. I remember Brother Tom years ago when we were campers together. He's a little bit older than I, even though he looks younger. But he was one of those older campers and ones who I looked up to and saw how they sought the Lord and God came to them. And so I'm thankful for Pilgrim Camp, and I know that he is as well. And so I just asked him to come and share with us a little word upon his heart. Come, brother.
Thank you so much, Brother Phil. Praise the Lord. I have attempted through the summer to spend more time here. I'd live here if I could. Love it here at camp. There's a song we sang a few moments ago that my mom sang to me when I was a little child. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Happy. Happy in Jesus. It all came back. She would sing that and teach that. She's with the Lord Jesus now, just in the last month. I know my dad would love to be here, and I'm going to bring him up. Make every effort next summer to bring him here. He's not been able to be here because of my mom's situation these last couple of years. The Lord gave my mom 68 years more than the doctors gave her. She had 6 months to live when she was 14. And I didn't even know all. She had Cushing's disease. There was no cure for that then. She had a tumor on her pituitary gland. I didn't know that. Radiation in that day was experimental back in the 40s. She's with Jesus now. And she knows the garden of God. Let him who has ears to hear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, in the garden of God. My mom sees that now. Our loved ones see that now. Many who have gone on before us. Wasn't always that way, that we had right to the tree of life. What does that mean? I'll read this in Genesis chapter 3, and I contemplate this years ago, and I really asked the Lord, help me to understand what this means, that humanity was banished from the tree of life. What does that mean? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, what does this mean? That we were banished, we were kept away from the tree of life. It cannot mean that we as human beings would not be immortal, because we're created in the image of God. And so we will live, whether in the presence of the Lord or apart from the presence of the Lord, we will live forever. There'll be existence for those who are in hell for eternity. Hell is a very real place, but there will be eternal life in the presence of God for eternity. So what does this mean that they were banished and kept from the tree of life? Again, a lot of childhood memories. You know, you think of these things and you think back, and we remember, and my sisters and my dad and I, you know, we think of days in my childhood, and I would spend a lot more time in those days. I was able to year after year here at camp. But in my childhood, I had lived in South Hempstead. We attended the Flora Park Church that day, the Flora Park Pentecostal Church. I have incredible memories there. My dad would work closely with my uncle, Fred Praw, in those days, and incredible memories from my childhood living, even the house where we lived in South Hempstead. And it's a small house, but a beautiful house provided through my grandparents. And in the side yard, I will never forget that there were two very mature pear trees, and they would produce fruit. I mean, there was so much fruit. I was assigned every summer. I would take, and I was 11 when we moved from there, so I was young, and I would take a whole paper bag, grocery bag of pears to the neighbors and take this down to the fisher, the Herzogs. My grandparents knew the fishers very, very well. Take this down to them. There was so much fruit that the Kynet family couldn't eat it all, and probably 90% of it fell from the tree and rotted on the ground. I remember it because I couldn't play in the side yard for most of the summer. I remember the bee stings and the squirrels that would chase me because they loved the fruit. They loved the pears, and the more rotten, the better. But I remember this, and I noted this. You will never find rotten fruit still on the tree. It may be very ripe when it falls, but it rots when it's apart from the tree. It rots on the ground. It'll never rot while it's still on the tree. And I think that the Lord was saying, because we had miserably failed a test. Already the Lord says in chapter 2 that he created this earth, and I believe it was more than just Eden itself. Can you imagine what this world would have been like without sin? Eden means pleasure or delight in the Hebrew language. And God wanted to bless. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us, verse 22 it is, that God created this world for us, for the church. We were to be blessed, and there was abundance, and Eden was teeming with life, but I think it was the whole planet. I think God created us in his image to be a reflection of his glory. That's what image and likeness means. In the Hebrew language, it comes together to mean there's a resemblance here. We resemble, we reflect God. We're the apex of his creation. I just read an article again. The director of the Cognitive Evolutionary Lab at Harvard, who has now said that the human mind is of a different kind altogether than the animal mind. And they've literally said that Darwin was wrong. There is no continuity here. We are different. We've been created in the image of God, in his likeness, and that has so much meaning. But not only were we created to reflect and resemble the Lord, but I believe that this earth was created to reflect the glory of God. There's a resemblance there. There's a reflection there of the glory of God, and God places us in Eden. And it says that there was so much bounty, and you can eat of all the trees, but he marked out two trees, tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he asked of us, and I believe in the sovereignty of God, but God sovereignly chose to let us choose to love him. We're not robotic. We come here freely to worship the Lord. It's a decision of our heart. And so he asked us, can I trust you? Will you love me without strings attached? I'll give you everything in the world, and God blesses us. Just don't eat of that tree. I don't know that it was a magic tree. I think it was probably just a natural tree, but God assigned it meaning and said, don't eat of that tree. There are boundaries. I preached earlier this summer about boundaries. I told our congregation it's probably one of the most important messages you'll ever hear, because there are boundaries, and when we don't have healthy boundaries, it'll set us up and ruin us. And Eve and then Adam chose to rebel against God. This is why I believe that we were banished from the tree of life, because God was saying, not on my watch. You're immortal. You're going to live forever, but I will not put my seal of approval on your rottenness. If you choose to rebel against me and live this way, and you want to live a rotten life, and quite honestly, most of the world chooses that. I am under the impression that most Americans at some time have said some prayer, they prayed some prayer to God. 66% of Americans say that they have a relationship with Jesus. They made a commitment that's still significant. You imagine, I don't know where they are. They're not in the highways, but 66% of the people. What does that mean? It means that we want to do what we want to do. Means that we miserably fail the test and we choose to live a rotten life. That's what Jesus was saying. That's what the Word of God says. And that's what God the Father was saying. I will not put my seal of approval. If you will choose rottenness, you will not partake of the tree of life. I will banish you. I will separate you from this tree. I want to bless you, but if you're going to choose rottenness, you'll sit on the ground and you'll be banished from me. But the Lord changes all of that.
Hallelujah.
And he comes to us in his mercy and his grace, and he says, I haven't forgotten. There's still a garden. Paradise, Eden, the Jewish people would call Eden paradise, and it was not destroyed. We were banished. We make choices, and our choices will keep the blessings, the Eden, the garden of God, from a distance so that we cannot reach it. It'll keep it from us because God cannot put his seal of approval. He told us, in effect, in this passage, Genesis 3, if you choose to live this way, you will live forever, but you will not live in right relationship with me. You cannot partake of this tree, but by the grace of God. Now I think of another, a natural tree. It's called the manchineal tree. And it's in Florida, West Indies, Caribbean, Central America. It is a poisonous tree. It's called the most poisonous tree in the world. If I remember this correctly, in Spanish, people there call the fruit of that manzanilla de la muerte, the little apple of death. You eat that apple, it'll kill you. It's got a white sap. They would put that sap on the ends of arrows and kill their enemies. They would tie people to the trunk of that tree and watch them die a slow, painful death. They would put the leaves in water and poison the water source. To this day, they'll put a red X on the manchineal tree to say, don't go there, don't eat this. There's a boundary there, don't go there and eat this. But what is so incredible is that in many of the native places, the natural places, you find the manchineal tree and the apple of death, you also find this other tree that has a fig-like fruit. And that fig-like fruit and the sap from that tree is the antidote, the cure for the poison that will kill you in the tree next to it. Before the curse, God already provided the cure. Before he banished us from the tree of life, he already said, Revelation 13, verse 8, that before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb of God who has been slain for us. And so he welcomes us to choose him, to love him, to embrace him. And then we read one last time in Revelation chapter 22. Let me read that. Because here is that garden once again. Here is the restoration of life, Zoe life, Chaim life, this principle. By the way, we don't live, we're lived through. Only God has life. And he says, I want you to partake of life. I want this. I want to bless you. And blessed are the people that are overcomers. Who are those? Again, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5, John would say just a few years after writing these words, he who overcomes is only the person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Those who come to him, and here's that last picture of the garden of God. You see, all that view of the garden that was distorted then because of sin, all of that lost opportunity is restored. Revelation 22, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, and no longer will there be any curse, that banishment, death itself. Our choice brought us into that. The very last word of the Old Testament in the Hebrew language is curse. But God says, I don't want to leave you there. I have a garden for you, and I have a tree for you, and I want you to be blessed. Come and partake of this tree of life. And God breaks the curse. Father, thank you that before the curse ever came, the cure was already there. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the earth. He, Father, you provided him slain for us that we, Lord God, would be set free from this poison of our own choice, God. How foolish, that God, that we would rot away, Lord God, and so many have wasted their lives. You said, I want to bless you. I want to give you right to this tree of life. Thank you, Father, that we have this bounty. Thank you, God, that we can feast and taste and see that the Lord is good. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, touch us. Touch our hearts.